I have a simple message this morning, so simple that I hesitate to preach it, and yet so needful that I bring it with a sense of urgency this morning. I'm going to preach on the subject, and again, once you hear, if you haven't read the title in the bulletin, you say, oh boy, this is one of those deep messages. Wherever you are, be there. Wherever you are, be there. Did you notice in our text verse, Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, just notice the words now. Let me read it again. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and then notice the next phrase, and be there. Come up to the mount unto me, and when you get there, be there. Now, it sounds a little strange. Because wherever we are, we're there. I mean, if Moses went up to the mount, he would be there. Why did God have to say, well, Moses, come up to the mount unto me, and by the way, I want you to be there? If Moses came, he would have been there. So why did God say, well, I want you to come, and when you come, I want you to be there? Why did God say that? Because God knows us. He knows our humanity. And he knows that we go a lot of places and we're not really there. Amen. Our carcasses are there, our bodies are there, but our minds are not. And God was saying to Moses, hey, Moses, I got something special I want you to do. I mean, I'm going to give you my law. I'm going to give you my commandments. I'm going to write them myself. He said there in verse 12, which I have written. He said, I'm going to write them myself. And we know earlier in the book of Exodus that God wrote the commandments in tables of stone with his finger. And so he said, Moses, I want you to come up to the mount to me. And when you get there, I want you to be there because something important is going to happen. I'm going to give you the commandments and I'm going to want you to leave that mountain and I want you to go teach them to the people. And so when you come up, I not only want your body, I want all of you. I want your mind there. I want you to forget about what's down at the foot of the mountain. I want you to forget about those people. I want you to forget about how ungrateful they've been. I want you to forget about that they forgot all the miracles that I worked when I brought them out of Egypt. They've forgotten about what happened at the Red Sea. They've just been a bunch of complaining people, complaining about the food and complaining how hard the journey is. But Moses, when you come up to the mountain, I want you to be there. I want you to forget about everything that's down at the foot of the mountain. And I want you to forget about what faces you tomorrow. I mean, you're going to have to lead these people. You're going to lead them to a land that I've prepared. But you know it's going to be a hard journey. You know, you've been with them. You know what kind of people they are. But I don't want you to think about tomorrow. I don't want you to think about the next day. I don't want you to think about the journey that you face. I don't want you to think about what's happened in the past. I want you to come up to the mountain, and I want you to be there because something important is happening. And you're going to need to take what happens on top of the mountain, and you're going to need to teach it to other people. So I want you to not only come, but I want you to be there. Now, again, my message is simple. The secret to having a happy, full, rich life. Now, again, you can't have that kind of life unless you know the Lord. Now, I'm going to get to that at the end of my message. You can't have a happy, full, rich life until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't have that kind of life until you get your sins forgiven. You can't have that kind of life until you are a member of God's family. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But what I want to tell you this morning is in this book, God gives us principles for how we should live that life. And one of those principles is, wherever you are, be there. Be there. Now, I have some illustrations I want to give you this morning. At home, when you're at home, be there. Let me talk to the men first. When you come home, your body may be there, your carcass may be there, but, and I'm not insulting anybody when I say carcasses. I'm just trying to say, hey, we can see you there. Your body is sitting in your chair. Your body is sitting at the table. but your mind is a million miles away. If you don't believe me, ask your wife. I'm surprised there's not some women saying amen. It's okay for women to say amen if you want to. They won't hit you. I won't let them. I'll keep my eye on all of them. But your mind is not there. Your mind is what happened at work that day. Or your mind is on what you got to do tomorrow. And so you do all sorts of things to make yourself not there. I mean, you read the paper. I'm not against reading the paper, but I think you ought to do it when you're by yourself, not when you're sitting across the table from your wife. You'll turn on the TV. I don't think there's much good on TV, but people do that to not be where they're at. They read books. They read magazines. They play these computer games. And I'm going to talk to the teenagers in just a minute about that. But we do all sorts of things. We're there, but we're not really there. We're not really listening. Let me tell you, there's something important going on in that moment, or could be going on if you were there. There's something important going on in that moment that may change the course of the rest of your life, and you're there, but you're not really there. And so my message again this morning is as simple: when you're there, be there. When you're there, be there. Same thing to the ladies. I'm not letting you off the hook this morning, although it's more of a man thing than it is a woman thing. But there are things that you do when you're there that make it so that you're not there. I mean, you'll do all sorts of things. I mean, well, I'm not going to say. If you want examples, ask your husband. Kathy, you can ask Robert, and I'm sure he'll give you something. But here's what I'm saying. We'll do all sorts of things that even though our bodies are there, we're not there, our minds are not there, we don't listen to one another, we don't talk to one another, we don't have that communication that's so vital in any relationship. And again, you're not going to have each other forever. Those moments that you get to spend together are limited. There's a certain amount that you're going to get to spend together. I wish God would give us a schedule that says, hey, as husband and wife, you're going to have this many minutes to spend together. And I wish God would tell us where we are on that schedule so that we would know how much we've already spent and how much we have left. And I think if God would do that, we'd be there more often than we are, because we'd realize we haven't got much left. Most of you sitting in this room this morning have already spent half the time that God's given you. Some of you in this room have spent probably 75% of the time that God's given you together. Don't waste the rest of it. Wherever you are at home, be there. Same thing comes when it applies to our children and our grandchildren. I was talking to Lynn before the service. She's excited about being a grandma. They're going to the ultrasound this week on Friday, but they're not going to find out what the male or female. They're not going to find out if it's a little boy or a little girl, but she's excited about being a grandma. Look, when we have our grandkids, when we have our children, when you have your parents, when you have your grandparents, wherever you are with them, be there. I mean, Aaron came over to spend the weekend with me. I wouldn't let him bring his Kindle. Because when he brings his Kindle, he's not there. So he snuck in some Legos. When he has his Legos, he's not there either. I said, Aaron, when you come to see me, I don't want all this junk. You leave that at home. I want you to spend time with me. And we did spend some time together, but I wanted to spend more. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Wherever you are with your parents or with your children, you be there. Again, I wish God, the psalmist says, Lord, help me to number my days. I wish God could tell us. I wish God could show us, hey, you only got so many days left with your parents. You only got so many days left with your children. You only got so many days left with your husband and with your wife. That's what the psalmist was talking about. Lord, help me to number my days so that I know I don't have many left. And I don't want to waste any opportunity. So whenever I'm at home, I want to be there. Same thing. I mean, let me give you another example. Some of you are still going to school. When you're at school, be there. You know, kids go to school, they think about all sorts of things besides what they're studying. They think about their boyfriends. They think about their girlfriends. They think about what they're going to do next and, well, you know, what they're going to eat for lunch and all that other stuff. What about thinking about algebra? What about thinking about geometry? Sissy, what about thinking about history? What about thinking about stuff like that? Do you know, when you go to school, girls, there may be something that the teacher knows that you don't. I know that's hard to believe, right? It's hard to believe. But sometimes the teacher knows something that you guys know, don't know. And you're sitting in class and you're thinking about all sorts of other things. When you're at school, be there. Learn. I know most of you are counting. Oh, you know, I want to number my days. How many more days do I have to do this? You know, and we, and when we're your age, we look forward to getting out of school. We can't wait to get out so we can do what we want. Like the guy, like the young man, so disgusted with his mom and dad. He says, "My mom and dad tell me everything to do. I mean, I don't have a free minute. I'll be glad when I can join up, grow up and join the army so I can do what I want." Yeah, there he's going to find out, isn't he? But when you're in school, if you're still in school, be there. Don't just be there in body, be there in mind. Use it as an opportunity to learn. Same thing, when you go to work, be there. People go to work. I was reading the other day how much time people spend on social media at work and how much it costs the average employer as to the time that their employees spend on social media. Some companies have turned it off. They make it hard to get onto social media. But again, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. When you're at work, you need to be there. You need to give your employee a fair day's amount of work and then some. So when you're at work, be there. Now, let me draw it closer. Let me make some spiritual applications. When you are at church, be here. I wish I could find out how many of you were here this morning. I know how I'm going to find out how many bodies we got. I mean, Andy and Jameson count how many bodies we have here this morning. But how many of us are really here? How many of you are thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch? Wish the preacher would get done. I'm hungry. Why don't you eat breakfast and you wouldn't feel that way? Or what do I have to do this afternoon? Or what do I have to do tomorrow? And you're thinking about all sorts of other things instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit has for you this morning. Listen, the Holy Spirit made plans for you to be here this morning. He's prepared something for you as an individual. Now, the messenger he uses is not much, I'll admit that. But the Holy Spirit takes the weak things of the world and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so don't let the messenger get in the way. What's the Holy Spirit got for you this morning? And again, what's God got for you this morning? Man, you're in the presence of God this morning. And he's got something for you. Be here. Don't be thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. Don't be thinking about what you got to do the rest of the afternoon. Don't be thinking about tomorrow, or don't be thinking about yesterday. Be here. When you're at church, be here. When you read this book, be here. This is the Word of God. This is the message that God has for us. And so many times we read the Bible and we have other things on our hearts and our minds. Why don't you just close the book and say, Lord, help me to clear my mind. Help me to clear my heart. Help me to get those things out of my mind that to keep me from focusing what you're saying in your word. Help me to get those things out of my heart that I'm worried about and that I'm dwelling on. And help me come with an open mind, with a fresh mind, with a new mind to this book because I want to hear from you. Amen. You say, is that what the Bible is? Yes. It's God's message to us. This book is old, but it's new. The message that God has for you from this book is fresh as the sunrise was this morning. It's as fresh as anything in your life today. This book is alive. It's fresh. And God has a message that he wants you to have. So, when you're in this book, be there. Don't just read the words without thinking about what they mean. Don't just read the words without thinking about what God is trying to tell you from that passage of Scripture that he's directed you to for the day. When you're in this book, be there. Number six, if you haven't been keeping track, I'll tell you where I am. I got 7 points, so here's number six. When you are in prayer, be there. Even if you're one that recites the Lord's Prayer every day, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but if you recite the Lord's Prayer every day, think about the words. Don't just say them. Think about what you're saying. Our Father, he is our Father, which art in heaven. He's in heaven this morning. Hallowed be thy name. Thy name be lifted up. God is worthy of our praise and worship. Thy will be done. God has a will. His will is worked in heaven. But the prayer says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, be there. You're talking to your God. You're talking to the one that loves you. You're talking to the one that has a plan for your life. Don't just mouth the words. Don't just pray without thinking about it. Be there. Be there. You're talking to the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Amen. Be there. And then number seven. Let me tell you where you are right now. Now listen. If you got your mind on something else, take it off of that. If you got your heart on something else, take it off of whatever you're worried about. Just give me the next 5 minutes without any distraction. Just give me the next 5 minutes without thinking about anything else. Let me tell you where you are this morning. You are at a place this morning that tells you that God loves you. We have a God that loves us. I preached about it and I've tried to explain it most of my life, but I know I'm still scratching the surface. I can't explain to you why a holy God would love a sinful man. I can't explain to you why a God that created everything would love somebody like me and love somebody like you. I can't explain that to you, but you're at a place this morning. Listen, don't be distracted. You're at a place this morning that's going to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loves you. You're at a place this morning that's going to tell you you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We can all find somebody that's a worse sinner than we are. We can all find somebody that's a bigger sinner than we are. And we can say of ourselves in comparison to that person, well, I'm not so bad. But God says, don't compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to my glory. And the glory of God was expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to know you're a sinner? You want to know how bad your sin is? Hold yourself up to Jesus Christ. Compare your life to his. Compare your behavior to his. Compare your thoughts to his. Compare your priorities to his. He's the mirror that we ought to be looking in to see what kind of sinner we are. You're in a place that tells you this morning, listen, don't be distracted. You're in a place this morning that tells you there's a God in heaven that loves you, even though you're a sinner. You're in a place this morning that's going to tell you there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not physical death, but being separated from God. We talked about faith in Sunday school this morning. Faith believes that God is. And if we believe that God is, then we want to be near to that God. You can't be near to him in your sin. He's a holy, righteous God. He cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. He can't have a relationship with us because of our sin. So you're in a place this morning that tells you there's a God in heaven that loves you, that you're a sinner, and that sin keeps you away from that God that loves you. But you're also in a place this morning that tells you that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. The penalty for your sin and the penalty for my sin was to be separated from God. Jesus paid that penalty. He paid that price. He paid the cost. When he carried the cross, as Adam's saying about a moment ago,
It was his love that carried the cross, his love that took him to Calvary's Hill, his love that allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. As he hung on the cross, God put on him all of our sin, every bit of it, every whit of it, all of it together. And on the cross, God's Son paid for my sin. And on the cross, God's Son paid for your sin. You're in a place this morning that's going to tell you that. And you're in a place this morning that's going to tell you, if you ask him, if you believe in your heart that you're a sinner and that he paid for your sin, and if you ask him, he will save you. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Are you here this morning? You're here, but are you really here? Have you heard what I just said? What I just said can make the difference from where you're going to spend eternity. When you die, when your body ceases to function, you're not over. There's a part of you that's going to live forever, your soul. It's going to go one of two places. It's going to go to heaven to be with God, or it's going to go to hell to be apart from God because you never received Christ and let him pay for your sins. Be here. Be here right now. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, be here right now and decide right now that you're going to come to God the way he said to come, through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen, you're not here by accident this morning. You're not here just by coincidence. You're here because God wanted you here. He wanted you to hear something in Sunday school, in the song service, in the fellowship, in the sermon. He wanted something in your life to be impacted. You're going to miss it if you weren't here. You're going to miss it if you're thinking about something else. And if you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you're going to miss it if you haven't paid attention the last 5 minutes. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. And if you come to him, he'll wash all that sin off of your record and make you right with God. Would you do that this morning? There may be one, there may be two, there may be more than that. I don't know. People here this morning that have never asked Christ to be their Savior, be here. Be here. Do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how, at times, how practical it is. Yes, it tells us about you. It reveals you to us. But it also tells us how to live our life. And I pray wherever we are, we'd be there. I pray the people that have never asked Christ to be their Savior are here, not only in body, but with their hearts and with their minds. And they've heard the gospel. They've heard how Jesus died for them. They've heard how Jesus paid the price for their sin. Father, you've dealt to them a measure of faith, enough faith to believe what we've just talked about. Enough faith to come and trust Christ if they will. It's their decision. And so I pray you'd help each of those that have never decided for Christ to decide right now, I'm coming to the Savior. He's the only hope. Adam said, yeah, sang that song, how hopeless we were before Christ. But love carried the cross. Love made the way for us to come to God. And I pray every person that's never come would come this morning. Help them to come in the next few moments. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.